This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner. She's the president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. We want to get her thoughts on two more developments related to the implementation of the new healthcare system in this country and more problems that are being discovered. One includes the mandate that health insurance companies spend a high percentage of their premium dollars on direct medical care. And the other breaking news, of course, from New Jersey and elsewhere, is that not very many people, to put it mildly, are signing up for some of the new provisions of the health care law. And Grace Marie, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, it's always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, you've recently written an opinion piece for Investors Business Daily where you look at this mandate basically inside the new health care bill that shows that for large insurance firms, they have to spend 85% of their premium dollars on directly on care, and it's 80% for smaller ones. And while that would seem to be a good thing on the surface, how this gets implemented and some of the rules that they have to follow is very troubling to a lot of people. Explain what's going on here.
Well, the government is basically telling companies how much they have to spend on medical care versus administrative costs. And the definition of what counts as administrative costs and medical costs are really the issue. They have asked the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, which are the state insurance commissioners, to provide recommendations of how that should be developed. Once again, the federal government acknowledging, we don't have a clue about how to regulate the health insurance market, so asking the states to help them. Well, they have been turning themselves inside out for the last several months trying to make these definitions. Does fighting fraud, for example, count as an administrative expense or a medical expense? Does selling the policy count as a medical expense or administrative expense? I think that's probably pretty clear. That should count as an administrative expense. But the more they squeeze that down, the harder it is for the companies to even survive. And now there's this huge question about whether or not the taxes that the companies are required to pay counts as an administrative expense or whether or not it can be subtracted from the bottom line, since companies have no control over that. And one of the commissioners from Connecticut has basically said that they are trying to put so much into the administrative expense category that it's really going to make it almost impossible for private companies to survive, and basically saying that I think that they're leading us, you know, they're using the regulatory process to move us toward a government-run single-payer healthcare system. That is the insurance commissioner from Connecticut saying that, not me, that this is moving us toward a single-payer option. It's not a single-payer option, but a single-payer system. I was talking with someone who's from the left of center yesterday who said basically the subsidies are not administrable. They just are going to completely implode, and it's, again, going to make the private companies basically not able to survive and winding up with the government having to become the insurer of last resort. And what I say in my piece in the Investors Business Daily is that Americans have consistently said over and over that they oppose government control of our healthcare system. And yet all of these decisions now being made through the regulatory process in the bowels of the bureaucracy where they hope people don't pay any attention are going to lead us to the government system that people fear.
Explain, Grace Marie, how this will affect us initially. If all these regulations, these burdensome regulations, are placed on these private insurance companies, how will that manifest itself in terms of how much we pay and what kind of care we get?
Well, it can manifest in a lot of ways that consumers are probably not going to like. One of them is if they make them include the taxes, then that's just going to mean the health insurance premiums go up. They're going to increase the bottom line so that they can afford to pay the taxes and also, you know, do what they need to do to do due diligence. You know, one of the things that Medicare basically doesn't do much due diligence, nor Medicaid. They just, send out a few federal agents occasionally to fight fraud, but they don't do it on a systematic basis like the private companies do. The private companies don't want to spend the premium dollars of their subscribers to pay for fraudulent providers. And so they have a lot, they invest in that. Well, the federal government doesn't, and they basically say, okay, well, if you don't fight fraud, then you don't have to pay that expense. Well, what's that going to mean? That's going to mean that health costs go up. What are they trying to do with health insurance reform? Health reform? Get costs lower. And so that it, once again, we're seeing that this legislation is failing, that it continues to move us in the wrong direction. Already we see premiums going up. They're going to go up even more if these regulations go into effect, where the federal government is trying to tell health insurance companies how to do business, and the federal government has no experience whatsoever in knowing that. And states that have tried this, they've both driven companies out of the state, so they have much less competition, which of course means prices go higher. And they've also really fouled up their health insurance market, so people have many fewer choices of the kinds of policies that they might like to choose.
A couple minutes left in our conversation with Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. And Grace Marie, we saw headlines yesterday from New Jersey, and you've also pointed out from Connecticut, where in the transition to the new healthcare system that was approved earlier this year, some of these high-risk plans have been made available to folks in these states. And let's just say the reaction has been underwhelming. Only two people signing up in the entire state of New Jersey. Explain briefly for our listeners what exactly these plans do and just how much money has been spent on essentially three people in two states.
That's right, and only one person in Connecticut has signed up for these. These are these new high-risk pools. The president has been out selling this health bill as though it's the little stuff, you know, putting children up to age 26 on your parents' policies. Free preventive care, we could talk about that too, nothing's free, or allowing people to sign up for these new federal high-risk pools if they've been uninsured for 6 months. Well, we told them, you're not doing this in the right way. Give the states some money to either enhance their own high-risk pools or set them up. When you try to create this new system of government, federal government risk pools, it's just not going to work. They wind up having so many restrictions that health insurance is very expensive, even though it's costing the federal taxpayer $5 billion to set up this program. It's designed to provide people a cushion until the full program starts in 2014. Well, we see that they made the rules so narrow and the coverage is so expensive that almost no one is signing up. But yet, are we going to get that $5 billion back? I don't think so.
Grace Marie, real quickly, anything else you're expecting to pop on the horizon here with respect to all this?
Well, we're seeing a lot of the results. I mean, I really think that we can see already that this has failed. You see that Assurant Health in Wisconsin is laying off 130 workers. So this is the health Obamacare is not creating jobs. People are losing jobs. You're starting to see that premiums are going up. We had a conference call, the Families USA, which is a liberal group, had a conference call basically saying, telling Democrats they should stop talking about the fact that the law will reduce costs and lower the deficit because people just don't believe it. Well, people don't believe it because it's not true. And so the Democrats are backing away from one of their top selling points for Obamacare. And the latest CNN poll shows that 56% of Americans oppose the new health law. Rasmussen's 56% want the thing repealed. I mean, it's just over and over we're seeing the American people get it. They don't want this law. And the more they find out about it, the less they like it.
Grace Marie, we've got to run, unfortunately. Thank you so much, as always, for being with us.
Thank you, Greg. Always a pleasure.
Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.